Are you carrying some extra weight? I know I am because my doctor has told me very clearly that I am. And if he hadn't mentioned it, well, every magazine and movie star in the world has made it pretty clear that fat is bad and skinny is good, not to mention everyone you know. When you lose weight, people congratulate you. Bring on the marching band! Your life is better forever. Let's celebrate with cake. But look, it is a whole lot more complicated than that, as people tend to be. Let me introduce you to the perfect example. Grace Cherry is her stage name. She's a burlesque performer, and being a larger lady was a big part of her art. So what was it like for her when she had to drop a bunch of weight for health reasons? Everyone assumes you're celebrating. Marching band! But what is it really like? Good morning, Grace. How are you doing today?
Happy Sunday. Very well.
Thank you. Thank you indeed. Now, tell me about Miss Kitty's Meow Burlesque Company. So what do you actually do?
So I started that back in 2008, and really there was not a lot of burlesque happening in Tasmania. We've probably obviously experienced a bit of an arts rebirth in recent times, but it's an art form that I always really liked because I'm essentially a magpie and I like anything sparkly, anything glittery, anything like that, and I was quite obsessed with Dita Von Teese. Still am very obsessed with Dita Von Teese.
Aren't we all?
And I've seen her live a few times. She is absolutely fantastic, and I just wanted a bit of that in Hobart on a budget, about a hundredth of her her size, I would think.
So what is a typical burlesque performance like if you've never been to one? Because I know it's very different to a strip club, for example.
Yeah, it can be. And I think a burlesque show is as different as the people involved. You know, there are shows run through Tasmania that are run by queer performers, so that can be a little bit more political, a lot more social commentary. The style that I prefer is very classic burlesque, which is a form of striptease, but I would say there's an art and craft element, and there's also an element of sort of a little bit of silliness to it, in that you are wearing more rhinestones than Liberace and have a head full of chicken feathers, so you can't kind of take yourself too seriously. I think it's also, for me, not being quite good enough a dancer to have ended up at the Moulin Rouge or something, so it's kind of, you know, the lazy girl's, you know, guide to the Moulin Rouge as well.
Now, how did your weight when you started doing this, how did that kind of figure into the performance?
I think a lot of people that I know got interested in burlesque because there is a presentation of sexuality on stage, but it's one that is tries to separate itself, I guess, from the male gaze or from what society typically tells us is sexy. So there's, you mentioned before, you know, magazines are telling you this is how you should look. And I think when you go to a burlesque show, you can see any type of performer, especially if you go to a festival or something. You can see so many types of performers.
Every shape and size.
Every shape and size and every age. You know, there's not, Tempest Storm died recently, who was one of the most famous performers. You know, she dated JFK, she dated Elvis, and she was performing into her 80s. And that's something that we don't celebrate enough of, is our sexuality as we get older. So that was something that definitely appealed to me about burlesque, was this idea that you can present your version of what you think is attractive and sexy and glamorous can be completely different from someone else's and from what we see maybe day to day when we're wandering around in our little lives.
So why did you have to actually lose weight if you were otherwise happy at that weight?
And I was fairly fit, like, you know, as well. And I found that I had quite high blood pressure, was working in very stressful day jobs, as a lot of people would appreciate, and very high paced. And my doctor suggested, look, lose a bit of weight, see if the blood pressure comes down. And so I started working with a food coach that would also look at some of the reasons that, you know, we might be carrying more weight than others. So to try and sort of go through that journey, but it really started as addressing a medical issue and then kind of continued on from there.
So give us an idea of how much weight that you've lost.
Well, listeners can't see me. I'm about 60 odd kilos. I'm about a size 10. I would have been about 40 kilos heavier. So, yeah, a lot different, but like still fairly, you know, physically active and all of those things. But I think when talking to my doctor about it, I also had that moment in my mind thinking, I don't want to be 40 and having a heart attack that could be highly preventable. I also don't want to live my life being sort of at 110% all the time in that level of stress, which is also a significant contributor to having high blood pressure.
I also hear of people with knee injuries, for example, or knee issues. And sometimes, you know, we are largely an overweight society, and often we're just carrying too much weight for the joints that nature kind of designed for us. So we have these reasons to do it. Now, the assumption is that skinnier is sexier, skinnier is better. How did you find this transformation? Because it's quite a significant change.
I definitely don't agree that skinnier is sexier, and I also think we need to, although I've had my personal reasons for changing my size, I think that there is an assumption that if you are overweight, you are unhealthy, and there is a lot of work in the body acceptance movement and things like that that is really showing that, look, there can be some health issues, but it might not be for everyone. And so I think I start to look at things now with a bit more of a critical eye, and definitely with an eye that I think you can think all your problems will be solved if you fix something. And what I found is I kept losing weight and it became like a hungry ghost. So I'd lose a few more kilos and then a few more and a few more. And that's when that obsessive behaviour can really kick in. And I think you can also drive yourself quite insane because, as you mentioned in your intro, people start saying, oh, you look so great now. There was nothing wrong with me before. My life isn't a before and after, something I have a real bugbear with weight loss ads and things. Life doesn't stop at the after photo. You know, your weight, your life is a continuum. And I think we wrap a lot up into if you look this particular way, everything will be better. And that certainly wasn't the case for me. Obviously, everyone is a little bit different in their own journey.
When you lose 40% of your body weight, you look in the mirror and there's literally an entirely different looking person. Is that weird?
It's really strange. And I can also look in the mirror and not see anything different at all. And that's where you have to really retrain your brain and do a lot of work there. And, you know, I think sometimes it's really easy to see yourself as having not changed at all. And it might just be you see someone you haven't seen for 5 years or 10 years and they go, oh, you've changed. And I think it's also, you know, really important as a society that we stop with the you look great now. Oh, you must be so much healthier now. Because if you didn't know me, you don't know what I've been through. I could have been incredibly unwell. I could have had an incredibly traumatic experience. Could have, would have, should have. You know, there could have been so many things that you can't tell about me from just looking at me.
Look, the last time I lost a serious amount of weight was stress. I got divorced. And I lost, you know, 18 kilos with no effort just because I couldn't eat. And so it was not really a compliment to say that I was looking better because I was not feeling better.
No.
Now, what did it change for you as a burlesque performer?
Look, it required me to really change. Well, firstly, it was a financially significant change because a lot of my costumes didn't fit me.
Oh,
if anyone
no.
has seen me on stage, they would know that those costumes are, you know, $3,000 or $4,000. So unpicking, the joy of unpicking 10,000 rhinestones off a corset to lay them on another one is something that some people will never have to worry about, thankfully. So there was a real financial problem, and it really, that was the first sort of thing that I noticed. And the second thing was having, you know, Brené Brown talks about things like this much more eloquently than I would, but having to lean into being really uncomfortable and being really honest, especially as a teacher of burlesque with my students who give so much to me and really make what I do much more enjoyable. But having to really be super honest and to talk about a lot of those things and lean into having some really uncomfortable conversations about the way that we talk about ourselves. So I would teach a class every week, and reminding people to look in the mirror and really divorce themselves from what they see and to be a little bit kinder about that and a little bit less judgmental. And I think having to be really honest about what I'd been through was really difficult. And something I didn't know that I could do because it's quite a personal thing, to rip that Band-Aid open. But the flip side is that I found in that there is that strength in being vulnerable and telling people a little bit about what you have gone through makes that space and that community that you create a lot more honest and allows people to also go, oh, hey, I feel like that sometimes too. I have all of those issues when I look at the mirror. I don't see X, Y, and Z, all I see is this. So you create a space where you know, like a no put down zone, I guess, and bringing a lot more of that honesty, which, so I think there were some positives, but it was certainly really difficult thing to do. And I'm very lucky, obviously, to have people that were really supportive of that change, just in the way that I teach and the way that I talk.
Have you achieved stability now? You've got a weight that you want to stick at so that you can actually sew the clothing to fit this frame now?
I probably have reached my like normal weight, but that doesn't mean that my brain has accepted that. Like, I will still look in the mirror and see myself as 40 kilos heavier.
So the ghost is still hungry.
The ghost is still, can be really hungry. It is a lot of work. It is exhausting to change yourself from into that I've got to lose more mindset. I've got to be skinnier. And really, if I was talking to my best friend, I would say, you're being absolutely ridiculous. You are perfect the way that you are. You are more than what your body looks like, because you are worth more. And I think for a lot of people that identify as female, it is a particularly difficult thing, because that is the first thing that you are judged on as a woman, is how you present yourself and how you look. It's the value that people place on you over all other things. And I have 100% noticed that, going from someone that was a lot bigger to a lot smaller.
Grace Cherry, when is your next performance?
The 27th of September at the Pooh Bar. But if you do a quick Google, you can find us. So I had to ever think about that.
Grace Cherry is my guest name, and she runs Miss Kitty's Meow Burlesque Company.